Shall we pray this morning as we consider the last part of ministry that I will be speaking on is called family ministry. I've spoken on fruitful ministry, as I remind you. I've spoken on our first ministry, love thy neighbor, all thy neighbor. I've spoken on faithful ministry in regards to serving and in regards to leadership. But I want to finish with the family ministry. And I've entitled this message, Faith Working Through Love. Do you know that's the ministry of the family? We shall see in this story this morning. Remember, Paul said, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything. Nothing external matters in regards to true religion, but faith working through love. And that's what we will see this morning. Shall we pray together? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way in which you put a service together. How she sang a song this morning, Becca did, of the great sacrifice, the great price we should be willing to pay because Christ paid it for us. And we see this great sacrifice put on display in this mother and this father of Moses. Help us to enter into this family ministry. Faith working through love by your Spirit. I trust you now to speak through me, O dear Father, and minister to your saints for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, a group of scientists were exploring the remote regions of the Alps in search of new species of flowers. One day they noticed through the binoculars one of such rarity and beauty that its value to science was measureless. The problem was it lay deep in a ravine between two cliffs. And to get this rare and beautiful flower, someone had to be lowered down over the cliff, connected only to a rope. A curious young boy was watching nearby, and the scientists told him they would pay him if he would agree to be lowered over the cliff to retrieve the flower below. The boy paused and looked down the steep depths of the ravine and the dangerous nature of the job and said, I'll be back in a minute. And a short time later, he returned, followed by a gray-haired man with him. The boy approached the scientist and said, I'll go over that cliff and get that beautiful flower only if this man holds the rope. He's my dad. Parents and grandparents, God calls us to trust him like that little boy. He is the one who ultimately guides, protects, and secures the rope that requires us to traverse down into such a dark and dangerous world where our children grow up. God wants to use our children like that priceless flower to accomplish the purposes for which they were created. Our children are growing up in a culture that hates God and, listen to me, hates them. They are destroyed through abortion. They are abused. They are despised by the world. They are seen as inconveniences, detriments to one's own way of life. They grow up in an environment much like that flower, stuck in between a ravine, dark and dangerous, in which they live. And it is our job as Christian parents to not only see their value, but be willing to traverse all the danger and darkness necessary to save them from it. But the key to it all is trusting in a supernatural God who holds the rope. This morning, we want to look at the God who held the rope for a couple parents in Exodus chapter 2. Turn in your Bible there and read with me in verse 1 this wondrous story. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. She had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew. She brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and says, "Because I drew him out of the water." I want to remind you quickly, Exodus is a book described in one word, redemption. In Exodus, we are told the story of how God redeemed His people, Israel, from slavery and bondage. And it was written by Moses, and it directly connects the promises made in Genesis to many of their fulfillment in Exodus. So the first 15 chapters are the story of God leading the people out of Egypt, while the second half describes the covenant God makes with them as His people. Our particular passage introduces us to the person who eventually would help deliver God's people from the Egyptians. What I want you to notice about that is it began with two parents, slave parents. Nobodies who decided to trust God in the darkness that they were living in. This morning I want to mention three things in regards to our family ministry of faith working through love. Number one, notice the confidence that love originates. Our confidence in God is the result of obedience to God. Did you hear that? Your confidence in God is a direct result of your obedience to God. There is no confidence in parenting where there is disobedience among parents. Here we find in these first few verses the outworking of God's design in both marriage and parenting. So faith working through love, first, look at it. Faith works through covenantal love. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. I would have you notice that all godly parenting begins with parents who are rightly related to one another. This means commitment through the bond of marriage. God's design for love in the home begins with marriage. From the beginning of Genesis, it was declared that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That's what happened here, right? A man from the house of Levi went, he left where he was in his family and married a daughter of Levi. To pervert God's original design and intention of marriage is to forsake His blessing and His care for our children. Family blessing begins with covenantal obedience through marriage. Notice the blessing. And the woman conceived and bore a son. The fruit of obedience is seen here. The woman had a son, and it turned out, right, to be not just any son. Covenantal love also comes from a full commitment of both parties for all their life. Covenantal love requires a lifelong commitment, parents. In marriage, God hates two things we see primarily. He hates divorce, and God hates adultery. Because both of these sins forsake our lifelong commitment of love we made in a vow before God at our wedding. Covenantal love is not dependent, brethren, upon our happiness, as we see here. Covenantal love is not dependent upon our circumstances, as we see here. Covenantal love is not dependent on the external hallmarks of success in our culture. Covenantal love is dependent on the fact that I'm committed to my spouse. And there is where faith working through love begins. Covenantal love. Secondly, faith works through a courageous love. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Listen, courageous love sees with eyes of faith that which is unseeable to the natural eye. Moses' mother saw that the child was beautiful. Now, she just didn't see physically that. We don't know how this particular realization or revelation happened to Moses' mother, but she came to a realization that this child was different. When Stephen gives us a little bit of understanding of this, you remember the martyr Stephen? Stephen, in the first Christian martyr in the book of Acts, preaches his great sermon, you remember, on Acts chapter 7. And we are given a clue into what Moses' parents saw. Listen to this. As he recalls the history of Israel, Stephen says it this way. Stephen says, the child was beautiful, here it is, in God's sight. So Moses' mother saw the way God viewed the child. This is quite a miraculous revelation when you consider the circumstances of this boy's birth. In Exodus chapter 1, if you were to flip back a chapter, you would find Pharaoh had made an edict, a command. He had told all the people of Egypt, every son who was to be born to the Israelites was to be thrown in the Nile River. But Hebrews 11 tells us she feared not the wrath of the king. Her faith in seeing the child as a gift overcame also her position in society. Moses' mother was a slave woman. She lived in abject poverty. She couldn't change her circumstance within her own power. She had to accept it. This is who I am. Yet the truth of what God thought of the child trumped what society, government, and the circumstances dictated. She saw that her little boy was a gift from God. Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. A 5-year-old boy was in the kitchen and his mother asked him to go to the pantry to get her a can of tomato soup. But he didn't want to go in alone. He said, "It's dark in there and I'm scared, Mom." She asked again. He persisted in not going in there. Finally, the mother said, "It's okay. Jesus will be in there with you." The little boy walked slowly to the door and he opened it and he peeked inside and saw it was dark and was about to leave until he had an idea. He stopped, looked into the pantry and said, "Jesus, if you're in there, would you mind handing me that can of tomato soup?" Listen, parents, Jesus is right in the midst of the darkness we are raising our children in. We have no need to fear when Christ is Lord of the light and the darkness. But also notice that the revelation of Moses being a gift caused her to act in faith. She hid him for 3 months. Listen, when God gives you light, you're required to respond to that light in faith. God gave Moses' mother, Jochebed, light, and so faith acted upon the light that she was given. Her faith actively expressed itself in courage to hide the child. So much parenting in our society is mingled with fear. Moses' mother hid him from the enemy, not fearing the wrath of the king. God, listen, parents, God calls us to hide our children, to protect them from the enemy. But it takes courage. From what they watch when we tell them no, to where they go, to who they hang out with, to how they act toward others. Faith working through love is courageous enough to restrain our children, not according to their wants, but according to their needs. If not, we give the enemy, their enemy, and our enemy an opportunity to have a stronghold in their life. Fear and comfort are the primary reasons most parents won't parent this way. Courageous love moves out of my lazy, comfortable lifestyle and helps negotiate these enemies for my children in a loving way. This means I have to tell my children, no. No, you're not. Think of Moses' mother. She had to restrain that boy for 3 months. Very quietly. I don't know how she did it. She did it. But she acted in faith. And faith calls us as parents to restrain our children, though our children want to do certain things, we have to look out for the best interests of our children and not the best interest of our well-being. It might become quite uncomfortable when we tell our children, sorry, you can't do that. And she was willing to live in discomfort for the sake of love, of courageous love. Notice thirdly, faith works through a calculated love or a clever love. Faith is ingenious when necessary. Look at the verse. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Faith is not unreasonable or foolish, and it's quite thoughtful. Jochebed, Moses' mother, knew the time for hiding the child was over, and now it was time to prepare a safe place for him. So she makes a plan. Did you hear that, parents? Faith is quite thoughtful, parents. In order to provide for our children's spiritual needs, we need to make a plan like her. Let me ask you, parents, what is your systematic plan for getting your child to the Lord? Are you praying daily for them? Are you giving them the Word of God? Are you pointing your conversations toward who He is and how He loves them? Notice here in this text, Moses' mother used what God had made available to her. Papyrus reeds from the Nile. Now, these were 10 feet high water reeds that were softer and often used as paper in Egypt. And she got tar to cement the reeds together. And she got the slime to seal the water from coming into the basket. In other words, she used what was available to her. There are many people who have gifts in this church, spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit. They are not only made to edify the church, they are made to edify the family. So that if you have the gift of serving, it's time to bring the kids along and show them what serving looks like. If you have the gift of administration, you'd bring them along and show them what it looks to serve the Lord in an administrative capacity. If you have the gifts to do building, to whatever it is in your life, if you have the gift to teach, you show them and you teach them the gifts that God has given you. See, that's using what God has made available to you. And that's making a plan quite thoughtfully. But also, it uses the graces, the Christian graces that God has given all of us. What are the graces? Well, we know the Word of God. We should be praying for them and praying with them, teaching them how to pray. We should be worshiping together, singing songs of praise together. We should be fasting for them. You see, she used the means God had made available to her. But notice quickly the last thing, the crisis of love. Faith works through a crisis of love. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds of the bank of the Nile. Jochebed knew she had to let go of the child and let God work. Did you hear me? The time comes, parents, where you have to let go of your children and let God work. The time came in Moses' life where his parents let him go. Faith working through love understands that part of trusting God and loving our children is putting them in the water and walking away when time permits. That's what Jochebed's mother did here. You know, many parents refuse to do this and cripple their children. They still try to control their grown-up children with correcting every wrong attitude, giving every sort of advice, pointing out every weakness, difficulty. We call those parents helicopter parents. Have you ever heard that before? They're always hovering over their children, you see. And they know nothing of the liberty found in Jesus Christ. They know slavery. Because they feel as if they step out of line in the slightest bit, mom and dad's coming after them. But we have to have a balance in Christian family life. And understand there are certain times where we allow our children to make mistakes. And we allow God to guide them providentially in this life. And she knew the time was now to let the boy go. This is the crisis of love in the life of a parent, isn't it? Parenting requires a willingness to allow the Lord's work in our children's life. Jochebed knew something that all of us need to hear this morning. Will you hear this one statement? Our children aren't our possession, they're God's. She actively and intelligently trusted God with her son, and then by faith, she let him go. And she waited. Expectantly, I believe, for him to work. This is faith working through love, brethren. Before I move to second point number two, is this your life? Is it a covenantal love? Committed to your spouse? Is it a courageous love? A willingness to see how God sees them, not how the world sees them, as gifts? And then by faith, shelter them from the enemy. Pray for them. Guide them. Commit a plan to God of how you're going to reach them. And then by great faith, come to the place of love where you let them go. This is faith working through love. But notice number two, the circumstances when you do that, the Lord orchestrates. This is powerful to me. Verse 4. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile, and she saw the basket. What a coincidence. Among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. What a coincidence. And she had pity on him and said, "Is this one of the Hebrews' children?" Then his daughter said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Listen, faith working through love both pleases God and moves God. Here we see one of the most marvelous examples of God's providence at work in the life of our believers' children. First, notice the people he uses to orchestrate Moses' salvation. Verse 4 and verse 5, his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the Nile where her maidens were walking alongside the Nile. Here we notice the amazing control of God over every human being on the face of the earth. From the tallest palaces to the smallest slave girls. God had created within Moses' sister first a certain curiosity to stand on the bank of the river and watch what would happen. Henry Ward Beecher said, "Our children are like cement. Whatever falls on them makes an impression." Moses' mother and father's faith made an impression not only on regards to Moses, but on Moses' sister. And as a result, she stuck around to watch what would happen to her brother. God often uses, in His great and magnificent providence, siblings to be a part of our children's miraculous salvation. What kindness there is in this of God. But also notice the other woman God providentially uses, Pharaoh's daughter. Now this is the daughter of the king who made the edict to kill every boy born to be an Israelite. Do you see the irony of that? For this princess goes down to bathe and sees a basket in water, and when she opens it, the boy is miraculously crying. This created within her pity and compassion for the very thing Pharaoh lacked, his daughter displayed by God's providential power. Listen, church. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and on earth. None can stay His hand. Dominion belongs to the Lord, and He rules over the nations. Let that encourage you, parents. God can use anything and anyone to accomplish any means He feels necessary for the sake of saving our children. Number two, the place He miraculously orchestrates it. And He set it among the reeds of the Nile. Here we notice God's wisdom and power in where the child would find salvation. It was the very place that Pharaoh had ordered the male children to be thrown into in order to drown. The Nile was meant to be the instrument of the child's death, but God ended up making it the instrument of God's saving power. The system of this world, brethren, which has been set up for our children's demise by the evil one, can be used by God to bring our children to Jesus Christ. God uses the emptiness of this world, the lack of satisfaction it ultimately brings, to lead our children to look unto Him for salvation. What a wonder-working God He truly is. What am I saying? Mothers and fathers, when you have to let them go into this wicked world, you can rest assured that if you, by faith, are trusting Him and have trusted Him, guess what? He can use that world to accomplish His means of saving your children. You can let them go. God will do it. What did Joseph say to his brothers when they sold him in? What you meant for evil, God used it for good. What a powerful God. What a wonder-working God we have, dear parents. But notice, thirdly, the precise timing in which He orchestrates it. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy. And she had pity on him. I want you to think from a different perspective on this point. Like many parents, I'm sure Moses' mother and father and sister would have wished for Moses' salvation to take place much sooner. Yet that wasn't God's way at all, was it? God allowed Jochebed to set him into that wicker basket and walk away. Think of the pain she must have felt as a mother. God allowed that child to weep and cry and be in misery in that basket. What pain he must have felt, that little boy. Why all of this? Because God's ways are higher ways, which ultimately bring God the most glory. He ordered the women to bathe. He ordered the sister to stay. He ordered the child to cry. He ordered the maids to see it. He ordered the sister to boldly speak for a Hebrew woman to the nurse child all at the same time. Why? Because He has the perfect timing for our children's salvation. You see, through this story this morning, we are all beneficiaries of beholding a God who is glorious and loving and compassionate and powerful. And this is our purpose on this earth, right? We know the catechism, to enjoy God forever and what? Glorify Him. That's our purpose. Glorify God. For all have sinned and what? Not done with. For all have sinned and fallen short of what? The glory of God. That's our purpose. The glory of God. And God allows all these things to take place that cause pain in our lives for the purpose of orchestrating something so much bigger than you and me. So much bigger than our little kingdoms on this earth. But to orchestrate God's great kingdom and bringing it about. For He is the only wise God. Amen. To Him be the glory. Our last point. The compensation that love obtains. Oh yes. Faith working through love does become compensated. Look at this, verse 9. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me and I will give you your wages. What? So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son and she named him Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. Here we notice the reward of living such a life before God. Faith working through love, number one, affects others around us. You know, the sisters stood at a distance, but she just didn't stand there. She said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? You see, Miriam, as we know her, Moses' sister displayed the same faith her parents did in this narrative. one of courage and ingenuity. She had the courage to approach royalty and the ingenuity to suggest the child be given a nurse. The same faith that Jochebed and her father and Moses' father displayed is the same exact faith that Miriam, Moses' sister, displayed. Faith is contagious in our family. And one of the ways God rewards us for living a life of sacrifice, for laying our lives down for our children, is we begin to see all of our children around us acting in the same manner as us. But notice also, though, the parents never saw it. That's important to realize for a lot of parents in here, and you wonder, did all the sacrifices I made have any impact on my kid? I want to tell you this morning, your child might not even be in the kingdom yet, but if you lived a life of faith, it has affected them immeasurable ways that, like Moses' parents, they could not see. Our trust in God affects all the people of God around us, even when we don't see it. Remember what Paul told Timothy about how the lineage, pastor talks about the lineage all the time, the generation, the work of God through generations, his blessing in regard to that. I think of 1 Timothy 1 through 5 where Paul acknowledges that in the life of Timothy. He says, "For I am mindful," listen to this, "of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Powerful. If it dwells in us, we can confidently expect parents at the right time, in the right way, according to God's perfect timing. And even if He doesn't do it the way we so design it, it has affected them. That's the reward. Notice too, secondly, faith working through love acquires more than we abandoned. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages." Moses' mother compromised her own well-being for the life of that boy, Moses. You know, every sacrifice given, every sorrow felt, every pain experienced was rewarded with an even greater return on investment. Moses' mother got her child back, and what was once illegal was now legalized by God's enemy. So this enabled Moses' mother to enjoy her relationship she now had with Moses. She could live in peace and in love within that relationship instead of fear. But not only that, Moses' mother got paid to raise that child. Listen to this. God will have His enemies do the bidding of His servants. That's how powerful He is this morning. When I came in my third year here at EI Bible School about 3 years ago, I didn't know how I would pay for it. But I knew I was to go. My previous boss that I had worked for in the secular world was not a godly man, we'll say it that way. For a number of reasons, him and others in my job constantly gave me a hard time. And after I had left to go to school, my father actually came out of retirement to take over the business. I had run just for a few months. He was going to help the owner out, my father, in my leaving. And so he came in and began to do work around. And as a result, through many circumstances, my dad acquired $6,000 for the company. They never expected to receive from a delinquent account. They had forgiven that money, the business I worked for, but my father was able to acquire it. And my father, I'll never forget, that reminds me so much of Moses' sister, because he boldly went into the office of the owner. This is a company that probably does $750 million a year. And he said, "You should give this money to my son in Bible school." Hey, man, what? You see, my father knew all the failed promises that the man had made to me. And that day, somehow, miraculously, he called EI Bible School and paid in full my entire third year at EI Bible School. You see, God will have even His enemies doing the bidding of His servants. That's the providential power of God when we entrust our children to Him. But lastly, faith working through love advances God's agenda. God has a purpose. The child grew and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." You know, it was through the faith of slave parents that God miraculously had Moses grow up with the education and training necessary for leading the nation of Israel against the Egyptians. This entire story shows us the power of love in a family that trusts God. God ultimately used this child to do something that these parents would have never believed if God would have told them. Moses, the man drawn out of the water, would eventually lead the people of God through the midst of a great sea of water. God desires to do so much more, brethren and sisters, with our children for His kingdom than we can even ask or think. And He has a plan in place for them which will affect so many lives around His kingdom. He has an agenda, but we have to trust Him by faith, working through love. In closing, children are that rare and beautiful flower that lies over that deep ravine where we parents must traverse. And it does require our own sacrifice, our own personal welfare, in order to save that beautiful flower. But God wants to use that flower, amen, in a measureless way. I wonder, are you displaying a covenantal love, a courageous love, a calculated love, and in crisis, faith working through love? If you'll do that, God will do the exceeding and the abundant thing. Will you commit to doing that, dear mother and father, on this Mother's Day? That, "Lord, I again set myself to be a father and a mother who's willing to pay the price," as that song said this morning, "for the sake of that beautiful flower. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. You are a marvel, wonder working God. May we surrender afresh and anew to a life lived for the sake of our children and their ultimate well-being, and not our own comfort or respond to our own fear, but allow us to trust you in a marvelous way. Trust you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.